Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears here with you on another Thursday, February, however you pronounce it, wherever you are. The 10th, 2022, 19 minutes past the hour, and we had a great day here in Marion yesterday as our mayor announced he was going to run for treasurer of the state of Ohio, and we also had former Governor Ted Strickland on, and it was a very politically interesting day, and a name that came up yesterday a lot was that of Mary Ellen Withrow, of course, 40th Treasurer of the United States, but Treasurer of the state of Ohio is an office she was elected to three different times, and of course, she is a Marion resident, and Mayor Schertzer worked for her at a point in his career. And of course, Mayor Schertzer said yesterday he got some advice and had talked to Mary Ellen, and Governor Strickland also talked about Mary Ellen. So who better to have in today than the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, it's so good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you too, Scott.
I'll tell you, with the COVID and the holidays,
yes.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's been tough.
Well, let's talk about the big announcement. Mayor Schertzer announces he's going to run for state treasurer.
Yes, and isn't that exciting?
What did you make of it when he called you?
Oh, I thought this is great. I think we need somebody that can really run. And, you know, and it's very interesting that I couldn't even think what the current treasurer's name was. That's how little I've heard about him.
We talked about it before we went on air. The office holders in Ohio, really the big six right now, statewide, DeWine's the governor, Faber's the auditor, Husted's the lieutenant governor, LaRose is the secretary of state, Yost is the attorney general, and Robert Sprague is the treasurer. All Republicans. Does that make it an uphill battle for Mayor Schertzer?
Well, it's going to be tough. Any battle is tough. You know, but Scott has done such a good job as mayor of Marion, and he's a good campaigner, and I think that you got to get out there and do your best, and that's what he'll do.
Being somebody who has only held office in Marion at this point, the mayor, is it going to be difficult to get his name out during a pandemic?
Well, you just have to do everything you can do. You get invited somewhere, you have to go, and if you can possibly do it.
When he called you, he said you gave him some advice. Do you want to tell us a little bit of the advice you gave him?
Well, we talked about the different programs that I had instigated, and we went through all of that, and the fact that, you know, they're both still in existence, and we talked about a lot of things, and I just felt that I wanted to help in any way that I could.
I know that at this point you've sort of stepped back from things politically, but being that this is somebody who's worked for you, being that this is somebody from Marion, and being that this is your old office, how active do you think you will be in this campaign?
Well, I'll do whatever I can or whatever they want me to do if I can do it. Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me something interesting that I did not know, that you are part of the campaign in a way.
Yes, I'm... I'm the treasurer of his campaign.
Well, that's a good position.
I'm continually a treasurer.
Okay. Always a treasurer.
Yes, right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. Has it changed in any ways since you were Rich Cordray's treasurer?
Yes. Yes, I was. And And I've noticed that things are just so much different than they were when I was in office. Everything has just done a complete turnaround. It's so different.
15 years as the mayor here, was this the right time for Mayor Schertzer to do something?
Well, I think it was a good time, yes. He's proven his point here, and he's probably done about everything he can do as mayor.
How is it, you worked in as county treasurer before you went to the state, what are the big differences between city, county government, and state government?
Well, the difference between county and state government is size. That's the only difference. It's all the same. And then you get to the federal and it's totally different. Yeah, it's not investing. It was manufacturing when I got to the federal level, and everything's much slower. But at the state level, I was my own captain of my own ship, you know. And at the federal level, I wasn't.
Now, this Robert Sprague, who is our current treasurer, have you ever had any run-ins with him?
No, I've never met him, no.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think the state is so Republican right now?
I don't know. I think we need, it probably goes to the leadership.
When we look toward the future, how can Democrats win in this election? Because I believe all of these people are running for office again, so it's an incumbent race.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you have to work very hard. You got to get your name out there, and that's the name of the game, getting your name out there.
When it came to finances, is it hard to go out and raise the finances you need to run on the state level?
Yeah. Until they think you're going to win, it's hard to raise money. Once they think you're going to win, it's easy to raise money.
When you were running for state treasurer the first time, did Ohio have good party leadership?
Yes. Yeah, we did. It was Paul Tipps. He was a good leader, and you know, when it was all over, when I won, he called me up and he said, "You know, Mary Ellen, you did it on your own, and nobody can take credit for it but you." And I thought, isn't that nice that he was big enough to say that, you know?
What do you credit that with? What did you do, coming from Marion, for the same office? It's what Scott will have to do. That got you that position?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, but I did everything I could do as far as campaigning. I know I went places other people wouldn't go, and I kept stressing the fact that I was a woman, and I was the only woman on the ticket. And I do think, and I was following a woman that had a scandal. And that was tough. And the whole thing was a fascinating campaign. And I, you know, I said, well, if I come in second all over the, and I ran against six men, I mean, in the primary. Now, Scott doesn't have a primary, but he needs to get his name out there. And when you have a primary, it helps to get your name out. But then in the general, I ran against Buck Reinhardt and an independent that had the name of Brown, which was kind of magic in the state of Ohio. And it was an experience, and I'll tell you, I went through some rough moments.
I was talking on the air with the audience yesterday, and obviously, Scott is a Democrat, and Marion has a lot of Republican voters. Clearly, we see that in the election. But just the fact that we have a Marion politician running for state office, even if you're Republican, and even if you wouldn't vote for him Isn't that something to be proud of?
Yes, absolutely. And they should support him. I've said to the people of Marion many times, I said, if they hadn't elected me here, I couldn't have gone on to do other things.
Do you think Scott can pull off a win in Marion County?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. That's the trick, really, is to win in counties that don't normally go Democrat.
Yeah.
And Marion's one of those at this particular point. And we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
It's an interesting...
Well, it's a different balance anymore, too, than it was when I ran. You know, we had a solid Democratic area from Toledo all around the north part of the state, around down to Steubenville. And I don't know how strong that is right now. That's something I haven't been able to find out. But I know Marcy Kaptur's running this year, isn't she?
I believe so.
Yeah, she's a strong Democrat up there. And it'll be an exciting race, I'm sure.
It's interesting. We also have a gubernatorial race coming up this year. You've endorsed Nan Whaley in that particular race.
Yes.
She's chosen her running mate, and it was a woman from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And conventional wisdom was, from a lot of people, that she would choose a man. And it's horrible that we even have to talk about this in 2022. But does it matter? Does it still matter to voters, do you think, when they go into the booth?
Well, I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter to me.
That, I think, will be an interesting question as this race goes on.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't heard anybody say that.
Somebody said that to me. They said that because we've never had a female governor, that to kind of balance out the idea of having a female governor, that there would be a male lieutenant governor chosen on her behalf. And that she didn't go that way kind of surprised a lot of people.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. What about that Republican gubernatorial primary? We've got DeWine being challenged by Renacci, and some polls are showing Renacci in the lead with 3 months left to go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've noticed DeWine's been on television a little bit more lately. Yeah.
What'd you make of this microchip factory?
Well, I think that's exciting. Yeah, I was very happy about that.
Do you see that as a political move by Mike DeWine in an election year, or just something good for Ohio?
It's just something good for Ohio, I think.
Do you think it will help him in the primary?
It probably will a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It didn't affect me that much that it was because of DeWine, but I think he's pretty much taking credit for it.
Yeah, he's been in all the press releases, and they ask him questions. Do you think we will have a big voter turnout this year with all the state offices that are up for grabs?
Well, I hope so. If we don't have a big turnout, it's always a problem, I think. I think people should care enough about who's running their state, especially after what we have had happen at the top of the state in the past with this householder thing. You better be paying attention to who you have in office and who you vote for.
If you were running for the same office that Scott's running for, treasurer of the state of Ohio, which you did many years ago, and you were running against an incumbent, Robert Sprague, who's kind of under the radar, a lot of people don't even recognize the name, how would you approach that election?
Well, first of all, I would find out what he has done, and that I don't know what he has done because I haven't heard a thing. You get your information into the paper about what you expect to accomplish. I came out with a program, the Link Deposit Program, that was a big hit. Even Gertrude Donahue didn't like it. She said it wouldn't work. But I still went ahead, and it's been a big success, and they've used it over and over and over. I mean, my gosh, you know.
Does Scott need to come up with something that will get him attention that will get him name recognition going into this election?
Well, it would help. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it would help if that's the case, yeah.
Is campaigning, in your opinion, a lot different now than it was before? When we see it on television now, the television ads are still there, the radio ads are still there, but newspapers don't play as big a part as they did before. Billboards are still there, but a lot of people are on the internet now.
Yeah, the social media is so much more involved. It wasn't there when I was in office.
What does it take to be a good treasurer at the state level?
Well, you have to make sure you don't lose any money. That's number one. And if you can have some good programs, that's number two. And then you have to have a good investment record. Hmm. We had a tremendous investment record. We earned over $2 billion for the state of Ohio.
Was the first race the most difficult for state treasurer?
Yeah, yes, by far. The second one was difficult, too, because I had this man from Cleveland running against me, and some of the Democrats up there supported him. And it was kind of a disappointment for me that they would do that because, you know, he had no experience, and he was... it's just the fact that his father was one of the wealthiest people up there. Yeah.
We are in February. The election will be in November. But just at this point, and heaven knows a lot can happen between now and then, how do you feel at this point about Mayor Schertzer's run? Do you think it's possible? Is it going to be a lot of work? Just how do you feel about it now?
Well, I think it's terrific that he's running. It will be a lot of work. There's no other way to say it than it's going to be a lot of work. It's really very hard on you as a person to run for office because you are just your energy level and so forth. It's all very difficult.
Well, we certainly wish him the best.
Yes.
As Marion citizens.
Yes.
And as I said yesterday, whether or not you are a Democrat or Republican in Marion, this is good publicity for Marion.
Right.
To have somebody running on the state level like this. And I don't think anybody has done it since you did it. I was trying to think yesterday if anybody has run from Marion on the state level, and I think you were the last.
I can't think of anyone.
Now, I have an odd question for you. Earlier on in the week, we were talking about the BMV, because I went to the BMV to get the license renewal. And I had to have two forms of ID, and I forgot one of them. But we ended up talking about the old BMV that was down on Church Street. Now, or over by the courthouse, excuse me. Did you ever work in that BMV? Were you the head of that BMV?
I was the head of it, but it was up on North Main Street when I took it over, and I moved it to Mason's Department Store, which is no longer here, but and it was a big success. I did that to get my name known because my name wasn't known. I'd lost the clerk of courts race, and I called the governor's office and I said, I want to get my name known, and I need to have the license bureau to get my, because your name's on everything that comes out of the license bureau. And I had I had the difference of another, well, it was Fahey Bank was trying to get it too, but then I ended up with it, and it made a big difference because I won with 64% of the vote the next time I ran when I ran for county treasurer. So the DMV is run totally different now than it was when I was there. We just went into being computerized when I had it, and taking pictures and so forth. I wasn't real happy about having to do that, but it got so it was you know, the more you do something, the better you get. And it was a good thing to do for me.
The question that we had earlier on in the week, we were taking phone calls about it. When the office used to be over by the courthouse, it seemed like they had fewer employees. Now, down at the county building, it seems like they have a ton of employees. Who is in charge of making those decisions?
The person that runs it.
The person who runs it.
Yeah. I only had two other people, unless it was in the rush season, which I had, I think, five or six extra people in the rush time. But no kidding, it's totally up to you on if you're running the place on how many people you have. And it's an interesting job.
Do a lot of people who come through there complain?
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't have hardly any complaints, really. I had a lot of people that would like to come in and talk to me. And I enjoyed that.
Was that a fun job to have?
Yeah. It was rough when you had your everything that you sold at once, you know, all of your licenses at once, but it was a good job. And And I said afterwards, if I'd had it longer, I would have had more people helping me, because I was just working too hard when I had it, you know.
You know, when we look at the grand picture of where Marion is right now, do you think we're in a good place? Is this something maybe Mayor Schertzer or anybody else running for office can point to Marion and say, this is a good place to be. We're better than we have been, I guess.
Well, we are.
Yeah.
We are. He can say that.
What do you make of the unemployment rate being so low? I think Mayor Schertzer said 4% at this point.
Well, that's great.
Was it because of the baby boom? Is that what caused this?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that.
You see these signs everywhere that people are looking for help.
I know.
It's amazing.
I know. It's all over the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not just here.
No. And I keep wondering what has caused this, because the extra money from the state stopped back in July, I think.
Well, I tell you, I think people have analyzed what they're doing. And in some of these cases, they've decided they didn't want to do that anymore. My granddaughter told me, she said, there's a bunch of jobs out there. She lives in Arizona, and she just changed jobs. She said, it's amazing how many jobs are out there.
What do you make of where we are in the pandemic? Marion, I believe, just hit the 50% threshold of vaccinations. We are now, I believe, over 900,000 dead in the country since the beginning of this. What is history going to say?
Well, I don't know why people don't get it vaccinated. You know, it seems to me that if you can prevent yourself from dying, you ought to try to do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's become a big talking point in the gubernatorial primary for Governor DeWine. Is this going to be a factor in the November election?
Well, I suppose it is. They keep saying it will be, but we'll see.
Yeah. I imagine we'll still be in the pandemic in the fall.
It seems like it keeps going on and on.
Did you ever think in the beginning we would be in it this long?
No.
Nearly 2 years?
No, you know, you kept striving for the vaccine, and then got the vaccine. We thought, oh, this is good, because it'll be over with, and here we go.
here we go again.
Yeah.
These variations of it just seem to keep coming.
I know. There's more, I guess, are there?
That's what I hear coming.
Yeah.
Down the path. Hopefully everything turns out for the best.
Right.
I guess that's what we can hope.
Right.
You know, I wanted to ask you about this story, and I'm sure you've heard about this story. This mayor of, have you heard about the mayor of Oregon, the man who's running against the mayor of Oregon?
No.
We talked about this yesterday on the show because this is just a sign of the times in politics. A gentleman who's running against the mayor of Oregon, I guess is what I should say, came out and said that he had been a swinger in his life. Now, nobody pulled it out of the closet. He just announced, because I guess he wanted to get it out there. Now, can you win if you make an announcement like that?
I wouldn't think so.
No, but would you have ever imagined years ago that somebody running for office
would say that? No.
What do you think has happened?
I don't know. That's really funny.
Yeah, and then somebody on television said, "Well, I wonder if he's in a swing state."
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Are people more open now than in when you were running for office?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
By far. I mean, my goodness. Yeah.
Would you have liked to have been that open about your life?
Not really. No.
Where was the line with you between public and personal?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Yeah. There's certain things I wouldn't talk about. I mean, you know.
Do you have to draw a line?
Well, I don't think I ever had a problem with that I can remember. It would, you know, it would depend on the person asking questions if they got. No, I never had any problem with that.
Does, in Ohio right now, the Donald Trump effect still play statewide? The last gubernatorial election, we saw him make a surprise appearance in the Cleveland area, and all the polls were showing that Rich Cordray was going to win. Now, I don't know if his appearance did anything or not, but DeWine ended up winning.
Well, that's true. I don't know. You know, I'm picturing Trump tearing up all his documents, and they said this morning, you know, that he was flushing them down the toilet. Can you imagine this?
It's an interesting picture to paint in your head.
I know, and then he was so critical of Hillary and using her emails and just compare these two.
Well, have you seen the talk recently that if Trump would run again in 2024, I guess it is, that some of the Democrats are saying the only person who could beat him would be Hillary Clinton?
Well, I don't think it would be a good thing for her to run again, no.
What happened to her? If we go back to the early 2000s, she was the shoo-in. She was going to be president. She came from a successful presidency, and both runs at it did not turn out well.
No. It's hard to analyze that. you know, I was a big supporter of hers, and I think she would have been a terrific president. But I really don't want to see her run again. And I think you've got the woman factor. You had the email thing that she couldn't get rid of. It was there, and it just kept hanging there. I don't know. It's an interesting subject, and we'll never know what everybody was thinking. You know, what happens when somebody goes to vote and they say, you know, I don't like her. Why don't they like her? They don't know her. I had that said to me so many times. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I said, you don't know her. Yeah.
And you, having met her, said she's a very nice person.
She is. She was terrific. And maybe she didn't run her campaign as well as she should have, but I think she tried to run a good campaign. And I don't know, you know, what was the statement she made about that I thought she shouldn't have made? Right now I can't think of it. There was one statement there that I think was the wrong thing to say about people.
Oh, was it the deplorable statement?
Yes, the word deplorable to me was offensive. And And she may have had a good reason to say that, because you may feel it, but you don't want to say it.
Well, and that was in regard to, I believe, Trump voters at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we are. Do you think Trump's going to make another run at this office?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's just talking about it and trying to sound like he's going to run, but I don't think he'll run.
What is his popularity? Because it's still there.
I don't know. I'm always anxious to hear what everybody has to say, but I think that I don't think his popularity is as good as what they're trying to say that it is.
How do you think President Biden's doing?
I think he's doing a good job, and I think he's doing everything that he can. Boy, has he got he's got a loaded table.
Do you think he'll run for re-election?
I don't know. I don't know what he'll do.
How much does age matter in politics? Because with Biden, I think that would be the only drawback.
Well, they talk about it a lot, but and that's the thing that I don't think you really should talk about, because I think he's perfectly capable of doing what he's doing, and I don't think the age is a problem. I don't think he did a really good job with Afghanistan, but I think otherwise that he's doing everything he can, you know.
What do you make of the continual hot mic mistakes that he tends to make when he said the profane thing to the reporter? Why does that continue to happen with him, do you think?
Maybe it's done on purpose. You know, it could be.
Could
yeah.
be.
And I see nothing wrong with it, because we all have our feelings, and sometimes you just can't stand it anymore. Yeah.
And I guess he did call and apologize to the reporter.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, after I can tell you some moments I had, I'd like to have said a few words, yeah.
Was the media, for the most part, fair with you?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Where did you feel, was it the opponent that was...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where the difficulty would come from.
Right.
Does truth matter in a campaign?
Yes, it does. And sometimes the opponent doesn't have much truth.
Why do you think in politics it comes down to that? It comes down to, we've got to throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, right. Boy, I had some dandies from my opponents, yeah.
Now, do you think in the long haul that with Mayor Schertzer running for office, I'm sure there'll be some sharp elbows in that race. Do you think, because on the local level, I don't know if he's ever had to combat anything like that.
He had a tough race against one of his opponents. Was it a dentist?
Oh, I do. Yeah, Dr. Gilstorf.
That was a tough
race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of bad things said. Yeah.
And, well, I tell you, something interesting came up, and we've talked about this before on the air. There'll be a year left on Mayor Schertzer's term if he should win, for mayor, if he should win the state treasurer position, which would mean there would be a year that we would have to have an interim mayor, because he could not hold both offices. And I believe this was looked up for us, Marion being a statutory city, that the Democratic Party, because the mayor being a Democrat, would get to choose who would fill that position for a year. How do you think, thinking positive, that the mayor would win this position, how should the local Democrats handle that after a not-so-great election for them last time?
Are you sure it's the Democrats? I think it's the governor, isn't it?
Is it the governor?
Well, I'm not sure about that, Scott.
Well, we looked it up last week.
Oh,
because,
did you?
Because
yeah.
When the auditor resigned,
yeah.
The Republican Party got to pick his successor.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's right.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they would be able to have a good person. There's a lot of them out there.
Is it difficult to pick somebody for something like that, because you don't want to take somebody who's in office, because then you got to fill that position.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have somebody who will finish out the term, who almost really doesn't have an ambition to run again.
But it would be fine to take somebody out of office, because you know their performance at that point. Or if you pick somebody new, you don't know their performance.
Now, would this be something you would ever want to do?
Oh, I don't think so.
Don't think so?
No.
What do you think makes a good mayor, a good leader of the city?
Well, somebody that's good at management. Anybody that's running a city has to be able to, make sure that things are working properly. And I think Scott has done a good job at that.
Well, what has made him a good mayor? If we look back at it, mm-hmm. For 15 years, mm-hmm. what has made him a good mayor?
Well, he's on top of things. He sees what's happening, and he stayed on top of things.
When we look at development in Marion, when you drive up and down the streets, what do you see?
I see some new shops, and that's good. Yeah. And I think they're doing better about getting rid of the houses that are in such disrepair. Yeah.
How did Marion get that way?
Well, it was the situation of all the industry leaving. I'm pretty sure that's what did it.
When you saw that happening, was there, in hindsight, any way to stop that?
Well, I really wasn't here. I was in Washington when that happened, and I came back and was really surprised at everything that had occurred.
It had a major effect. To this mm-hmm. day, people still look back on that era mm-hmm. with a
yeah.
fondness.
Yeah.
When we think of Marion, a lot of times we do history programs here on the station. It seems like in Marion, all we really ever talk about is the shovel and popcorn and President Harding. Those seem to be the things we hit. Do you think we need to let the kids in this community who are in school know more about the city and the history?
Well, yeah, that's the reason I moved my museum to the Historical Society, because I didn't have room for school children to come in and see it. I think the Historical Society has wonderful things for children to see, and I know they take advantage of it.
Now, do we have any updates on the museum?
Yes, it's opening March 26th.
March 26th?
Yes. That's what they told me the other day. It's supposed to be March 26th. It's a Saturday. And they're having a program. And that's about all I know at this point.
Is this exciting for you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what kind of things will be in the museum at this point?
Well, I know all the things I've turned in, and they've got my whole life is what they've got.
You know, you talked about a video you were doing prior to the pandemic. Was that ever finished up?
Yes.
Oh, it was? Good.
Yes, this firm from Columbus did the video, and they've done a lot of work with my information, and I think it's going to be terrific. I think really they've done a terrific job.
And as far as the Historical Society goes, hopefully that will be open to the public and people will be
yes.
able to come
yeah.
and partake in that.
Yes, right.
What is your most memorable piece of memorabilia?
Well, probably, I think John Glenn's $20 bill, I would say. Who else has had any money that went up in space? I don't know of anybody.
You know, John Glenn, he was an interesting political figure in Ohio.
Yes.
And he was around for many, many years, a Democrat. Are there any John Glenns around today?
Well, we hope so. He was dynamite. I tell you, I just thought so much of him. And You know, he's got the airport named after him now, which I love to hear that, and when they call it the Glenn Airport. And he was like being a movie star. When you were with him, everybody knew him, and it was just exciting to be with him.
Was he somebody you could call to help campaign and do things?
Yes, he did a lot for me. Yes, he did. He did commercials for me. I remember we were doing a commercial. It was right around Halloween time. It was very close to the election. And he was stating that I had earned more money than any other treasurer in office. And he said, he stopped and he said, "Is that true?" I said, "Well, of course it is." You know, he was very careful about, you know, he didn't want to make a statement that wasn't correct. And he was. You know, another thing that I always had to laugh about, I never got endorsed by the Dispatch, and I was telling him about it. He said they never even would call me to interview me, and so I felt better.
Even John Glenn could not get into the Dispatch.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. We with newspapers kind of in a deterioration, unfortunately, now. Newspapers were a big deal in those days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had every newspaper in the state endorse me except the Dispatch.
Now, do they give reasons why?
Well, I knew what it was. I took the money out of John Wolfe's bank and moved it to another bank the first thing I did in office, because he'd had it since 1923. And I mean, you talk about being competitive. He wasn't competitive or anything. And so anyway, that's what the reason was.
And he, of course, was the owner of the Dispatch.
Well, he was very involved. Yeah.
Nowadays, do you think the media is better in that way? The Dispatch has endorsed some Democrats now since they've changed hands. Is there any place in Ohio that you can think of that does not give politicians a fair shake?
Well, yeah, there's some very, well, very strong areas of Republicans and Democrats. I mean, both parties have their strong places, so you have that.
Where do you have to win? We have the strong areas for the Republicans, the strong areas for the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, what do you have to change? What do you have to carry to win a statewide election?
You have to win as much as you can out of the Cleveland area. And as I said, the area for Democrats is from Toledo, clear around the top of the state down to Steubenville, and then it stops.
Do you have to turn out a good vote in the rural areas?
Well, yes. I mean, you want a good vote everywhere, because that's when you have a good vote, I feel like the election is fair. When you don't have people that go and vote, I just think that's what's happened lately. We haven't had very many people voting, and they should be. And I think sometimes it's because they're discouraged with what's going on because it's so disgusting.
Do we have a strong Democratic Party in Ohio?
We can't, not really. We need a stronger one. We always can use a stronger one. Not right now, we don't. Not like it was back a few years ago.
Going into the November elections, do you have a good feeling for the Democratic Party?
Well, we've always got the ability to win offices. I mean, you just have to have people that will work hard and do the things that they need to do to win an election.
In past years, because there have been polls, Rich Cordray was thought to have won the governorship, if you would have read the polls the day before.
Yeah, right.
In Marion last time, we had the whole situation with the auditor, and people thought that was going to be good for the Democrats locally. And it just seems that is the thinking going in on election night. And then the next day, it's not the case.
Well, there wasn't enough people went to vote. If they'd have cared enough about it, that's it. They don't care enough. They need to go vote. Yeah.
How do you think the vote gets turned out? How can, because at this point, there are certain people who need the vote to turn out. How can you get those people who are uninspired to go to the polls?
Well, you have to get them excited about your race. That's the whole point. You gotta come up with, you know, making sure they know you're running, making sure you're talking to everybody you can. That's you gotta go all these meetings and try to get the word out and let people know what your feelings are about the office. That's so important.
Can you be guarded at all when you're running for office? A lot of people, I think the mayor yesterday when he was on said, stuffed shirt. Try not to be a stuffed shirt, I think was the term he used.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one, yeah.
Is it hard to do that? Because, as we talked about earlier, to some degree you have to be guarded because you don't want to bring certain things into the race. But then again, you want to seem personable. You want to seem friendly. I would think that's tough.
Well, you just want to talk to people. People just want to be talked to. I remember that, I'd talk to people and they'd give me ideas and I'd go home and I'd think, that was crazy. And then I'd think about it. Most of these things happen when you're during your sleeping hours. You're awake and you're thinking about things. And you think, well, that maybe would work. And I had some of my best thoughts in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, it's quiet, and it comes to
right.
you.
Right, uh-huh.
If Mayor Schertzer was able to win this election in the fall, a position that you once held, a person who had worked for you at one point, what would that mean to you?
Well, I'd be very proud. Yeah, I've always been proud of Scott.
And I guess we're off to the races now.
Yes, right.
It all started yesterday. Well, Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to see you. I'm always glad when you come in.
I'm always glad to come.
And we'll definitely have to have you back before the museum opens up in March to talk about all the particulars of that. And we'll also see how the mayor's doing at that point.
Right.
And you are the treasurer of his campaign. What do you do as a treasurer of a campaign?
Well, I'm the honorary treasurer.
Oh, that works. That's not a bad position to be in.
That's not bad at all.
Not at all.
No.
One of a kind, Mary Ellen Withrow, a treasurer to the Marion community, and you put her right up there with Harding and popcorn and everything else that we're proud of. Stay tuned back in 15 minutes.
Mobile notary services anywhere in mid or central Ohio.
We here at WWGH